What does that mean? Jesus sat down and he said, come and pay your taxes. So I'm not owing any tax, but Peter said we are going to pay, so we are going to pay. At that point in time, there was no money. Jesus, look, many of the things he did that we recorded as miracles. For him, they were not miracles. The things were just life. I don't know. Do you understand my point? It was just life. Okay, the other day I was in the house. My daughter entered the room and said that DSTV has removed their food network from the bouquet. Do you understand? And I said, uh-oh. So I came out after a while. I said, let me see. So I scanned. So it showed me all the channels that were missing. Uh-oh. I said, this is sad. Why did they do this? Then when they showed me a few other channels that were missing, something struck me. I said, let me have the remote. I went somewhere, realized they were using the wrong bouquet. There's the way it was. I just switched this thing to KU Africa, and everything popped up. Of course, trust, see excitement. They were so happy. I said, you see, the daddy has done it. You know, just made a joke about it. Now, you see, to them, it was a big deal. To me, do you know it would not have been worth complaining to anybody? If I was one that had noticed it, instantly I would have known somebody was playing around with this remote. So I'll pick it, press a few things, and reverse it. Now, many of the things that we call miracles, Jesus didn't see them as miracles. They saw them the way he saw them as the way God deals with people that are living their lives normally. I'll give an example. That day they said, pay the tax. So he looked, Peter, do you have money there? No. So the money has to come from somewhere because the Son of God can never be embarrassed. So he instantly said, where is it coming from? And the Holy Spirit let him know, it's in the mouth of a fish somewhere. So he called Peter, come, our money is somewhere. It dropped in the water. One fish is holding it for us. Go and get it. I don't know what I get my point. It was not miraculous per se. To him, it wasn't miraculous. To you, because you are a child looking for your missing DSTV channel. Do you understand my point? It's miraculous. To him, it was not miraculous. To him, it was the normal life that he was supposed to live on this earth. Listen, let me tell you the truth. If Jesus was sleeping in a house, let me ask you a question. An armed robber started banging the door, shooting the neighborhood. Do you think it would disturb his sleep if he was the only person around? Do you know it wouldn't disturb his sleep? If he came out and one of them aimed a gun at him and he says, are you stupid? And that one says, I will shoot you now. And he says, okay, if that's the way you want it, die. And that fellow collapses and dies. Do you think you go and give a testimony? Praise the Lord, and they came to my house and they wanted to try Son of God. Do you know, it wouldn't have been an issue. It would just be like, he came to come and preach to them that what you are doing is not good. Let me really drop this before I go on. That is how God wants your life to be. One of our brothers, he had a manifestation of that some time ago. This was in Benin. He stopped at the junction or something. Two boys on a bike blocked his car. And by the time he knew what was happening, their brother had a gun, pointed at him and said, come down. He was going to come down, but the guy now said, come down now before I shoot you. And he suddenly was grieved. And he said, shoot me. In the name of Jesus, die. And that guy collapsed there. On the spot. He was just angry. He was just provoked, you know. He just said, what? Me? In the name of Jesus, die. And the guy hit the floor instantly. Engaged his car in gear and drove away. Listen, the life of Jesus, that was not a testimony. It was a normal thing. When he walked on water, listen to me. We don't know how many times he walked on water. We only know the ones that the disciples encountered. And I'm explaining to you that it was not like he was anointed. No. What happened was that he was the dwelling place of God. His anointing was when he helped other people. He's going on the road. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Boom, you touch. That's an anointing. So he felt virtue depart from him. But the other things that had to do with his own personal life, no be anointing. That he will have food to eat was guaranteed. So much he told the disciples, you should not be praying about food. That is a sign of immaturity. When it was time to ride into Jerusalem, all right, the scripture will be fulfilled. We have to go on. Just call one of the disciples. Go to some place, you find a colt tied there. Bring it. If they ask you why you are collecting it, say to them, the master has need for it. You know, let me give you one young woman's testimony. It's a small thing, but like I told you, it's important we understand these things, that some of these things is just the way God expects life to be. When I first came to Enugu, I like to tell the story because the young lady played it wrongly, but then there's a lesson in it because what she did was right. She played it a bit wrongly. I was in my office one day. She walked up to me and said, good afternoon, sir. I came to see you. Who am I? What is my name? The girl didn't know who I was. She just said that the Lord said she should come to UNTH in Enugu and come and see the pathologist, and the pathologist will help her. And so I'm the pathologist, I'm the one the Lord sent her to. If you understand, I am not intimidated by you telling me the Lord sent you. So it didn't move me one bit. I can't remember exactly what I told her, but I was like, listen, my friend, don't harass me with who sent you, who didn't send you. Just tell me what you want. Because you're not a prophet, so don't come and tell me the Lord didn't send you to me to come and give me a message. You need help. The Lord not directed you. So, I dismissed her. The Lord said, the Lord didn't say. I was fresh in town. I had resumed in that office. I can't remember the exact date now, but it was less than a month. I think it was less than 2 weeks, but let me just put a month, okay? That was some time ago. That was in the year 2000. So, there was no way she could have known from Port Harcourt that I existed here. She entered a vehicle, came all the way from Port Harcourt. You know what her problem was? She was a final year anatomy student who was doing her project, which included interpretation of histology slides. And there were many. And the people there who could do it was doing plenty shakara, and you know, charging money, you have to wait and all of that. And then maybe she just prayed. And something inside her said, go to Enugu. Do you understand? Go to UNTH. Ask the pathologist there to help you. Why I believe it was God, why I said she played it wrongly, is that she should have, this is the best way to do it, just walking. Good afternoon, sir. I came because I believe you can help me. You don't need to drop God, say, don't harass my life. Do you understand my point? Because I still would have helped her. She just walked in and said that God sent her, all right? And so when she said that, I just said, listen, I'm very busy. I just told her straight. I'm very busy. Please, you have to leave. And really, I was busy. I was the only pathologist there. I had work to do. I just came. Why I said I believe it was God that sent her was because I resumed just a few weeks before. If she had come a month before, there was nobody on that seat. So for her to have come that day, I believed it was God that actually said she should go when she needed help. Then as she turned to leave, I said, by the way, come. What do you really want? Instantly, she just put her hand in her bag, brought her pack of slides, said she's a final year anatomy student in that university, and she has to submit her project by next week. Stuff, you know, she gave me the whole rundown. I just said, let me see. I was walking. I just said, let me see. She gave me the slides. I looked at all of them. What did she want? She gave me a summary of everything. I looked at the slide. Okay, let me have the first slide. She passed it to me. I looked at it. Quickly ran a commentary. She was taking notes down, you know, rapidly. Let me make a long story short. In less than an hour, I was through with her. Now pack your things and please go away. You know, I will never have even remembered her again, except that a few years later, she came back to ask my people for something else this time around. All right? But the point I'm trying to make is this, all right? That's what just came to my mind, to let you know that the presence of God in the life of a child of God, if you tap into that presence, it solves problems anytime. You see, the same way that young woman came all the way from Port Harcourt to Enugu, came to UNTJ and said, where's the pathologist here? He said, that's his office. Please tell him I want to see him. So I thought it was somebody who just said, please, sir, I need help. This is the summary of it. And in 1 hour, a help had been rendered. She went back, took another vehicle, got back to Port Harcourt that day. Listen, if she had gone to her colleagues in the room, in maybe in her hostel, saying that my work is ready, they're like, how can? I went to Enugu this morning. How come? It was like telling Peter, take a fishing hook, go to the river, catch the first fish, all right? Open its mouth, you will find a pathologist in his mouth. Listen, there is help for you. Say amen.
Amen.
I said to you earlier, Jesus doesn't see that as a miracle. He sees that as a normal way by which the presence of God in the lives of his children creates results. Listen, you know, anytime you see somebody who's connected, don't think of the person as being lucky, because the truth is that nobody is more connected than you on this earth. None. A young man sent us an email a few days ago. He said, in that email, he said he had listened to a lot of my messages. He said, there was one in which, of course, I told the story many times, in which I told of how I went to the American embassy for the first time. He said he had gone 3 times and they had denied him a visa. Then he heard that message. He said he listened to it again and again. And the next time he went, he said the same woman who denied me a visa the last time I came gave me the visa without asking any question, without checking my papers. He said, you know all I did? I allowed God to help me this time. How did I allow, show my faith in his help? I didn't say anything that was inaccurate in any of my documents. So I was going for a course. I went and I came back. This time, at least, nobody's help. Even the documents he prepared. When he went in, he said, let me carry divine help this time. He said 3 times he had gone. And 3 times they had denied him. Then he listened to a set of messages in which I gave a testimony. And he said, no, this is the working of God. This is how I'm going to live my life. He applied for it again and walked in there. He said, listen, it is God that's helping. So anything I'm saying must be 100% accurate. And this interesting part, they did not even pick the paper to check whether it was accurate or not. What happened? The Holy Spirit just overshadowed him. I keep on saying, when people say that, when you are going somewhere, dress and let them know, listen, it is called bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. Naked Adam could get any job. If you ever saw this film, The Pursuit of Happiness, listen, let me tell you something. All this one of, you know why I dress the way I do? I like the way I look. That's all. And I just believe that the Bible says that God dressed the flowers of the field. So God likes people looking good. Yeah, really, he does. That's why he dressed. Otherwise, you'll have come to the earth. Everything will have just been looking black. No green. God can make chlorophyll black. Do you know that? So the green is not the crucial thing. Just part of spicing up the environment. So put some yellow, some red here. You now see some blue. Some flowers will be blue. And then butterflies will pack all the colors and be flying all over. It's just God just likes the look. Do you understand my point? So when you are looking like the whole trouble of this head and your head, don't worry. God doesn't like that idea. The Lord is good. But listen, I don't wear a suit to open doors. You know, if I was wearing a t-shirt to dress here, to teach here, you will still come. If I come in nika, you know, you'll get used to it after a few times. Say, what does that pastor wear nika? I don't know. Then you come and listen to that pastor that wears nika. Then they want to describe me. Say, you know that pastor, that black man that wears nika. It becomes a description. It does not remove anything from my anointing. So, when you want to dress up with that mindset. Don't think it will open any door for you. If it doesn't open door, it opens doors for some people. But you, what opens doors for you is the presence of God in your life. Why I said whether you saw that film Pursuit of Happiness was that there was a part of it in which Will Smith acting that role. He was released from jail. He was arrested while painting his room. So there was paint all over him. He was going for an interview. By the time he walked in for the interview, he was so poorly dressed. He had maybe like a t-shirt on. I can't remember exactly now. And the man looked and said, if I employed you, how will it be that you walked into my office for an interview? You are not wearing a shirt. What would be the, my, what, okay, explain why I employed you. And I made a joke of it that it must be that my trousers are too good. But the truth is that he's not wearing a shirt did not deny him that appointment. So while this one of dress up, look like you are important, it's because you are not important. If you were important. Is it Larry Page? He drives a Toyota Prius. One of the richest men on this earth. One of the founders of Google. You know the car he drives? A Toyota Prius. You remember Steve Jobs in his days? All he ever wore was that t-shirt. The jeans and the t-shirt. Every time, jeans and t-shirt. So let nobody deceive you that the reason they didn't give you that job was because your tie was not shining enough. You are a Christian. Man shall not live by bread alone. Using your clothes to open doors is bread. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. If that word pushes the presence of God into your life, you will open doors without those clothes. Please, are you getting my point? I'm trying to describe the experience of the life in which God dwells. I'm trying to describe. Now, listen, open to that Psalm 132 again. Jesus died to bring this thing to effect. He said, I will not give myself any rest until I have made a dwelling place, found a dwelling place for my God. And in case you do not know, I hope you know Jesus is not resting till now. If you know that, say amen. If you know why you said amen. Okay, let me just explain for those who don't realize what we are saying. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession. Jesus is still praying for you till today. Every day he's praying for you. Listen, when I say he's praying for you, militarily, he's praying for you. And what I'm trying to teach in this series is for us to remove all the defilement that does not allow, that do not allow, do you understand, the presence of God to be manifested. Otherwise, there's no problem you have on this earth. None. There is no problem. None. Listen, let me just say this one to drop it up by the way. You can't even go to hell. Say amen.
Amen.
Look, you don't live your life as if, yeah, I just want to make heaven. People say it. I don't believe it. How can I live my life? I just want to make heaven. It's a very stupid way to live life. Just want to make it. It's like me moving around. Say, I just want to make Nigerian nationality. Say, why are you going to work this morning? Pastor Banky said, I want to make sure I'm a Nigerian. I want to make Nigerian nationality. Why are you paying taxes? I want to make it. What are you trying to make? Make Nigerian. I want to make it to be a Nigerian. You are getting married? Yes, so. Where's your wife from? From Nigeria. Why? I have to make it to be a Nigerian. So I've married a Nigerian. You are going for Bible study? Yes, so. I have to be a good Nigerian citizen so I can make it to be a Nigerian. Now, after a while, you're going to call me and say, Pastor, please, I'm just curious. Are you okay? I'm not angry. I hope, like they say, I mean no disrespect. I just want to know, are you okay? So what do you mean? Every day I talk to you, you say why you are doing what you are doing because you want to just make it to be a Nigerian citizen. What are you currently? Until you commit treason, you are a Nigerian citizen. Are you getting my point? Until you do something, all right, like treason, or you commit a crime deserving of death in which they remove your head, until those two things happen, you are a Nigerian citizen. What you just do in life is to make it you walk in a manner worthy of your citizenship. That's all. People say that you just want to make it to heaven. No, I don't just want to make it to heaven. I have made it to heaven. I want this heaven citizenship to have effect on the earth. I am not refusing to, I'm not keeping away from sin because I'm afraid I will not make it to heaven. No, I am keeping away from sin because, one, it is not my character. Number two, sin disconnects me from the presence of God in my life while I am on this earth, even though I'm a heaven citizen. Because I'm on this earth, I'm a citizen of heaven. And God wants my life to be a reflection of where I come from, not where I am. Did you hear what I said? What God wants is for my life to reflect where I am from, not where I am right now. In fact, my presence is the way by which He brings a bit of heaven onto the earth. For that reason, I can't allow any defilement of flesh or spirit to come between me and the manifestation, do you understand what I'm saying? Of divine power in my life. Many of the things we call miracles, listen to me, God doesn't see them as miracles. He just said, look, there are just things that happen if I'm present in somebody's life. They were on the boat. Jesus walked into the boat and then the wind ceased. That is, the torment they were experiencing was because of the absence of Jesus in their boat. Many of the turmoils in our lives is because that divine presence is not with us. Let me say this. It doesn't come into our lives by prayer. Very important. That's what we've been talking about. You know, last week, if you were not here, get a message. I talked about connection. Listen, in fact, I like the way Jesus said it again. He said, when I speak my words to you, I'm paraphrasing now, what I'm actually doing, I am connecting you with divine power. How did he say it? He said, the flesh profits nothing. The things you hear, physical words, they are not the real thing. It is the substance they carry. That is, those words, they are the way by which I connect you to God so that His presence can enter into your life. You know why you are still like this evening? Or if you are listening to this by tape, you are listening to it carefully. It is because while you do this, you have been infused with the presence, the fullness of God. That's it. So that, like, you know, I said something at the beginning, trying to introduce something. That if you carry this presence into everything that you do in life, results are automatic. Christians are not supposed to struggle. No. No. They live normally. What I mean by normally? They are not lazy people. Do you understand? Work is not a sign of sin. Before Adam fell, he had work to do. God put him in the garden and said, guard it. Keep it. Tend this garden. He even gave him a teaching job to do. So what do I mean? He gave Adam the commandments and gave him a wife who he didn't tell anything. Did you hear what I said? He gave Adam the commandments and they gave him a wife that he did not tell anything. That is everything I've told you, teacher. Then you are going to have children. You are going to raise the children in the fear of God. Listen. Advancement in technology was there in the deep parts of the spirit of Adam. It was a matter of time. When they would have spread all over the earth, he would have had to invent the phone. What I'm bringing is this. Work was part of life. So as a Christian also, we still work. But the greatness of the results that we get is not dependent upon how hard we work. It is dependent on how obedient we are to the laws of the presence of God, that's number one, and how much we see into the realm of the Spirit concerning what He wants to do next. Listen, what makes you succeed in life is actually advanced knowledge. Do you understand? Yes. Listen, that's how it is. Oh, I feel I should wind up now because I can't start any other thing now that will not take me a long time to explain further. But I hope I've made any point today. I hope I've made some points. This is where we are getting to. We didn't finish reading, but let's read a few more portions of that Psalm 132. That I didn't finish explaining everything. We'll read again next time. These are among the things that he was saying. So what was God saying in Psalm 132? And what Jesus was saying is that this is what I am doing. I'm building my people into the dwelling places that God will dwell. Verse 5 says, I'm in their lives, I'm finding a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. He now said in verse, let me just pick up from verse 11. He said, the Lord has sworn to David. This was what God said to the Lord Jesus, and which applies to us. As, like he said, I and the children whom the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and wonders. He said in the book of Hebrews, was quoting from Isaiah, but was applied to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said from verse 11, the Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. So the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. If your sons, that is you and me, will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them. We'll look at this later. Now, let me quickly break this, please, just for a second. Then we'll clearly close in a few minutes. When he's talking about sons here, he's talking about every one of God's children. Are you getting my point? Anyone sitting down here that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are one of the people that the Lord was talking to the Lord Jesus about. When he said, if your sons, say, if they will keep my covenant and my testimony. The work of Christians is to keep divine covenant and to keep his testimony. Now, I will explain in a moment, or maybe next time. He said, which I will teach them. Their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion, and he has desired it for his habitation. What God is saying, that this is what God desires. That the people of God, that's Zion on this earth, all right? God wants to dwell amongst them. You know, that's what he said through Paul. He said, I will dwell amongst them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is, God has chosen to dwell, and that when he dwells amongst them, it is through them he will manifest his mighty power on the earth. That's what he said. Listen to this. He said, this is my dwelling place forever. I'm not changing my mind. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Now listen to this. If I am dwelling in that Zion, this is what they are going to experience. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. They will not know any lack. Her priests I will clothe with salvation. And her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. That is, they will have cause all the times to rejoice. Now, he said, there I will cause the horn of David to spring forth. I have prepared a lamb for mine anointed. Now, this is where I was going, verse 18. I just like to drop this. His enemies I will close with shame. And upon himself, his crown shall shine. Now, that is, you know, I want to just drop this for those who are always fighting enemies. That's what I'm going to explain. That is, how do the enemies of the children of God get clothed with shame? It's not because the children of God are facing those enemies every time. It is because they ensure that God's desire is fulfilled. What is the desire of God? For their lives to be the habitation of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, listen, all we are doing by our teaching, our learning, our paying attention to the word of God is to ensure that we are made properly into a habitation that God can stay in. Let me just say something quickly as I close. It is sad to say it like this. It is not in the lives of every Christian that God is happy to dwell. Yes, and that's what we are teaching. Once there is defilement of flesh and spirit, his presence moves back. Did you hear what I said? That's why Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And when he was writing that letter, you know, when we were young those days, we thought we could use it to preach to unbelievers. that Jesus at the door of your heart is knocking. If you open to him today, he will come in and dwell with you and sup with you, and you with him. Except that it was written to the churches. It was written to the churches. It was not written to unbelievers. It was not written for them to be converted. What does that tell you? For Jesus to be standing at the door of your heart and knocking, you've thrown him out already. I mean, how can my wife be at the door and knocking if he was inside? I didn't get to my point. That means she went out. She's at the gate. She's honing and banging the gate. Who is inside? Open the door. It is possible for Christians to push the presence of God out of their lives. Do you get the point? And Paul said, how do they do it? It's simple. By defilement of what? Flesh and spirit. What is the word of God coming to our lives to do? To rearrange the nest so that indeed God can dwell in it. And I'm saying that everything we desire in life, there are natural consequences in the lives that God is dwelling in by his presence. My wife showed me a flyer earlier today. Was it today or yesterday? When I read the flyer, I said, it's not bad, though. It's not bad, though. It's good. These miracles are good. I said, but why do we always make it appear as if this is what God is doing? For unbelievers, maybe, you can use to attract unbelievers to come to church. But for believers, God didn't gather you to work a miracle in your life. He gathered you to transform you into Christ-likeness so that his presence can dwell in you. And then what people call miracles become a normal thing for you. Healing becomes normal. What people call supernatural provision, you are used to it. Do you get my point? You are used to it. Have you never been in a place in which it looks like, yes, I remember there was a time I got here. You just be telling the story. As I stood there, I checked my pocket, I realized I was supposed to travel. I had parked, I got to the park. Maybe you had the one telling the story. Suddenly I realized that I didn't have any money. Or the only money I had had gotten missing somewhere. And I said, Lord, I am supposed to be in Lagos. I'm at the park already. While you are standing there, somebody walks up to you and says, sir, is there any problem? He says, I'm surprised. I'm looking for my purse. I can't find it. Oh, where are you going? Lagos. No, sorry. I have no money for it. The guy will just pay, naturally. That is, why did he pay? Two reasons. One, either because he's a human being that God just poured the spirit of pay inside. Or literally, he's another fish that has been caught and told to pay for himself and for you. You get to Lagos, you turn to tell the man thank you. He didn't enter the vehicle. Did he not enter? They said, which man? You're wondering. No, that's how 12 legions of angels behave. I don't know what I hear what I said. That's how 12 legions of angels behave. Listen, oh God, let me end my message and go home. The more I read the scriptures, I say people don't understand what used to happen. I am sure of one thing. Adam and Eve did not live alone in the garden. They didn't. I can prove it to you. It's written clearly. Were there other people there? Yes. Were there human beings? No. One, they used to hear the footsteps of God come in the cool of the evening. So for the Lord to come, it wasn't strange to them. I don't know what I get my point. It was not a spirit floating and whispering in their spirit. And the Lord's spirit, my spirit began to whisper, and then my spirit was telling me. No. The Lord, literally, his feet with no sound on the grass. And when the serpent came, he was not a strange being. I said, this, you know, you've seen the films and serpent will come straight. It was not a snake. Don't have time to go into that. It wasn't a snake. It was another beautiful creature that used to come around the garden, of which they have seen this type before. I'm telling you. What am I going to say? They were used to seeing angels. They were used to seeing angels. Listen. When I watch National Geographic or Discovery and they start telling lies about how the primitive man learned how to fashion iron, you should know that thing is a lie. You could not have stumbled on the method of smelting iron, of producing iron from ore by accident. think about it. It's not possible. How did those men learn? At the beginning, there was a blacksmith angel that taught Adam, this is all. This is how you handle it. Many of you have encountered angels you don't know. Many of you have listen, angels still prowl around on this earth. Because of time, we can't start telling many stories again. Two things that happened to two of my friends. One of them, that one was, in fact, the day he came to my office and we're discussing this, he said that was the first time he was telling somebody that thing, and that till now, goose pimples still cross on his body anytime he says it. He was driving from Maiduguri to somewhere, and he was weak and tired, and his tire just went flat. So he parked his car and looked. If you've been to the north, you know how long the roads can be. So he was alone, he looked. He was so weak, he didn't know how to start jacking the tires. Then two Fulani headsmen just showed up from nowhere. As if they came out of the little bush that was there. Okay, what's the problem? He said to his surprise, they spoke good English. But he was too weak and tired to think of it. Your tire is down. Oh, let's change it now. They changed the tire without asking him any question. They knew where the jack was, knew where the spare was, rearranged his tires, screwed his thing back on. And he was just watching. He wasn't thinking much about it. He was so grateful. He entered his car and thanked them very much. I handed them, this was long ago. He said, I think it was 20 naira, just to say thank you. So they collected, one of them collected it. Then before he turned around to just wave them bye-bye, he looked. He didn't see them again. So he was wondering, where could they have disappeared to just now? You know, there's not much bush. They came from here. Then he looked. He didn't see them again. He was alone all of a sudden again. Then he drove and got to wherever he was going and parked and turned. And his 20 naira was sitting right on his seat beside him. He said, Banky, I am very sure, because I had two of them. I gave them one. The other one was still in my pocket. If you think you're alone, forget it. Let me give you another story. One sister told me one story that happened once. One lady, early in Lagos, those days when armed robbers were everywhere. She came out early in the morning to go to church early in the morning. He said, early in the morning. He said, as soon as that woman opened the gate, the armed robbers were waiting. So, of course, the boys began to approach. The woman, like, hey, God, help me. Then suddenly she saw two men just appeared, wearing white. Just came, stood beside her. He said one was short and thick. The other one was slim and tall. They just walked towards her. The moment the thief saw them, he said, look, what happened was that the thieves, I think they paused or turned to run. One of them went, locked the gate for her, while one stood beside her until she drove away. Early, around 5 a.m., two of them just, he said, the shorter one went to the gate to go and help her lock the gate. Why did I tell the story? I don't even know why I went into that. The point is this, you are not alone. You carry the presence of God, they will show up every time to help you. Amen. What many people call miracles, God doesn't see it as a miracle in your life. He said, you get to the point of need, you're alone, you don't have any money. Just look up and say, 12 legions from my father. What's going on? I'm a child of God. I have the presence of God with me. They will show up and they will help you. Amen. Let me close here. Let's just really give the Lord thanks. Let's really give him thanks. Just say, Lord, this is just my desire to carry your presence.